Appreciate the prayer and ask your continued interest in your prayers. Turn this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, some glorious doctrine in this chapter, but it also should drive us to practical obedience. As we remember what the Lord has done for us, if we remember, you know, we've just had our communion service, we've just preached on several things that would cause us to pause and consider the great sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ did or gave for us, giving his life to save us from our sins. And understanding all the while that what Jesus came to do was God's purpose throughout all eternity in the way that he would come and save us from our sins. I want to read a few verses. I'm going to begin in verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, one of the glorious things about the mysteries of God is that there are many of those things that he has revealed to his people by his Spirit. Without his Spirit, they would remain a mystery, wouldn't they? But with his Spirit and with his Word, many of the mysteries of God are revealed to us. And they're there for us to rejoice in and lay hold upon every day. So, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is telling us that when Jesus comes again, there'll still be those alive that are his people. There'll still be those that'll be worshiping and praising his name. I hope there'll be somebody here at Piney Grove that's doing that, don't you? I hope there's somebody left in the United States that'll be doing that, don't you? But I'll tell you something, there seems to be places around the globe today where people are willing, much more willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel, and they're more open in their rejoicing at the preaching of the gospel than many of the places here in this nation today. And it causes me to fear and tremble. But does it have to be that way? No. No, it begins with us, doesn't it? How is it with us? How is our heart? How are we standing before God? How are we serving him each day? How are we thanking him each day? How are we praying each day? And what are we reading each day? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Oh, when he comes again. We got to be changed, don't we? Could you be in heaven's pure world the way you are right now? Some of you might be saying, I don't want to be in heaven the way I am right now. I'll agree with that. Amen. All right. We're going to have to be changed. And that change, like the Philippian letter tells us, is going to be likened to his glorious body. You know, I think recently we spoke about when Jesus rose from the dead and he appeared to his apostles, and you know, they didn't know him. They thought they saw a spirit. They didn't realize it was Jesus in a resurrected body. But he said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, look at me. You see this body? It's got flesh and bone. It's not a spirit. Look at me. I am the resurrection. If I'm not risen from the dead, there's no reason for you to worship me. Because I said I was going to do that. Bless your hearts as we think about Jesus, the resurrected Savior, is the very reason why we worship him today, isn't it? It's the very reason why we gather around the communion table and partake of that bread and partake of that wine, thinking about the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. His resurrected body. And the condition of that body when he came forth out of the grave is the condition that we're going to have to be changed to. because we don't have that right now. We have His Spirit within us. We have eternal life. We have, how does Paul put it in Romans 8? We have the Spirit of adoption, but we don't have the literal adoption yet. We're waiting for that time when we'll be changed and fashioned like unto His glorious body, right? Doesn't that give you some wind in your sails for each day? To realize that He's coming back. He's coming back. He said He would. Any doubt that He's going to come back? No, not at all. Does it matter if it may be a long time yet before He comes back? I know you're disappointed in thinking about that, don't you? We want Him to come right now, don't we? Lord, come quickly. There's a lot of heartaches and sorrow. There's a lot of things to enjoy in this life, but I tell you, along with it comes a lot of heartaches and sorrows and valleys and tears. Take just a half a moment and think about those things that are here that won't be up yonder. Because when you think in those terms, you can appreciate what Paul's telling us here. We shall not all sleep. In other words, some are going to sleep. Some are going to pass the scene of this life. But he doesn't speak of them as dying. He speaks of them as falling asleep. I like to think of falling asleep in the arms of Jesus. I love to think about when we fall asleep from this life, our eyes awake in His presence. Oh, what a day that'll be. We shall not all sleep. We've had to say goodbye to many loved ones, haven't we, in this life? The longer we live, it seems like perhaps those dearest to us, you know, won't be long. I've said goodbye to my mom and daddy a long time ago. But it was not just goodbye. It was a so long. So long. I'm looking forward to seeing them again. But now, brethren, I'm not expecting to get up there and say, "Where's my daddy? Where's my mama?" I'm looking forward to seeing Brother Chester, Sister Emma. My brothers and sisters in Christ. That takes a mental transition, doesn't it? There's no marriage nor given in marriage in heaven. That's for this world. That's for all the needs to happen in this world. But bless your hearts, He's redeemed us from our sins. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're part of that family. And someday in heaven's pure world, there'll be a grand family reunion, won't it? Aren't you looking forward to that? Without the loss of one. I tell you, every time we try to get together here, somebody's got to be here. Somebody's got to be over yonder. Somebody can't make it. Somebody's sick. Maybe someone's passed away, not able in this life. Oh, but bless your hearts. The grace that we have in Christ Jesus, being preserved in Him. Whatever befalls us in this life, bless your hearts, there's a grand time awaiting us in heaven's pure world that will never, ever end. That encourages me right now, doesn't it, you? To be thankful that of what we have to look forward to helps me to be a better disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ right now in thanksgiving and gratitude for all that He's done for us. I want to live more to His honor, because that's one way I can say thank You, Lord. That's one way I can say I love You, Lord. Do you know, I've said this before, and you know it, but I'll remind you, every act of obedience to this word, you're saying to the Lord, "I love You." Right?
Absolutely.
Because He said, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." So every time that we choose to be faithful to God, every time we choose to do His Word, every time we choose to walk in a way that's pleasing in His sight, we are saying all along the way, I love You, Lord. And we need to be saying that a whole lot more, don't we? It's good to say it with your lips. I'm going to tell you, it's better to say it with our heart and our footsteps. Remember that quote I've told you a lot of times? Sir Francis of Assisi says we ought to preach the gospel everywhere we go. And if necessary, use words. I'd rather see the gospel anytime than hear it. I love to hear it. But I also like to see it in the lives of God's people. So, we shall not all sleep. Someday, if the Lord delays coming, all of us here will be sleep. Our body will be sleeping in the grave. You know that, right? Bless your hearts. Until that time, we have opportunity to serve the Lord. We have opportunity to honor Him before men. You know, that's what the command is. Let your light so shine before men. Not in church on Sunday morning. I mean, it's good for us to gather together and praise His name and hear from His word, but it's better that we let our light shine out there, that others may see your good works. I like to see your good works, but I'd rather this fallen world see your good works as a witness to the glory of God, that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If they're going to glorify Him, they have to know what they're seeing. They have to recognize a Christian walk. They have to recognize a Christian demeanor. Bless your hearts, isn't it encouraging when we're out in public and we see someone demonstrating a Christian demeanor? You know how, you know, it's commonplace that you see somebody, something happens and it offends them, or something happens and it thwarts their way or whatever, and they respond by fleshly means. That's commonplace, isn't it? But how refreshing when we can see a Christian response to something that didn't set well with somebody. Oh, doesn't that encourage you? Doesn't that encourage you to be more bold in your service to the Lord? I tell you, I love it in restaurants and whatever you are, when you take a moment, thank God for this food that you're about to receive in public. I don't know how many times somebody stopped by the table and said, I like to see that. And I've told others, appreciate that. I tell you, we don't need to be ashamed of the Lord. We don't need to be ashamed of His ways. We don't need to be ashamed of His word. We don't need to be ashamed of His commands. We need to be faithful to the one that loved us and gave Himself for us. Now someday, by His grace, we'll live with Him in glory. And it's time for us to start thanking Him right now, every opportunity we have. We shall not all sleep. When we're sleeping in the grave, our body at least, when the body is sleeping in the grave, you don't have any more opportunities to show your faithfulness to the Lord. And if you should happen to get to the place in life where you're no longer able to get out, and you don't have to be old to be infirm, do you? I think a lot of us have seen that. I know that year or so that I worked with the home medical equipment company, and I was amazed at how much disability there is in this nation, and it's not all older people. There's a lot of young people that are disabled. You don't see them out in public. They can't get out. You see some of it if they've got means to do the devices, the wheelchairs and so forth. I'm tell you, if you were to get to that place where you could no longer be up and about doing the things you'd love to do to serve the Lord, that would be a miserable time, wouldn't it? To have a lot of regrets. If you're laid up and can't get out, and think, you know, I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have done that. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I tell you, that to me, that speaks of God's faithfulness. We fail Him so often, don't we? We come so far short. But aren't you glad God is faithful to us? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed because of what Christ did for his people when he died upon the cross. All of his people are secure in his finished work and will be with him in glory without the loss of one. Isn't that a comforting doctrine? There's so many places that you go that you'd have to listen to a doctrine that says if you hold out faithful to the end, or if you've got to do something in order for it ever to be yours, bless your hearts. The truth of God's word is what comforts the spirit within us. And when we find comfort with the spirit within us, it comforts the body and the mind. You know, so many times we think about how that God's truth, when God's truth is proclaimed, it feeds the soul of God's people. The head sometimes can't keep up with it or hasn't figured it out, but the spirit within them will witness to the truth. And so he says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Somebody might say, well, preacher, I've just messed up so much. Surely there's no hope for me. I'll tell you, the blood of Jesus reaches everyone that God chose before the foundation of the world, despite of what we've done with this life. And that's all the more reason. If we feel any conviction within us, if we feel any condemnation for things that we've done in the past, bless your hearts, we can confess our sins to God. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we can get up and go again and try to serve him faithfully and do a better job than we have in the past. Don't sell the mercy of God and the blood of Jesus Christ short. It has power to save all that he died for. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all, without exception, without the loss of one, all be changed. In a moment, twinkling of an eye. This is talking about when Jesus comes back. You know, I haven't read a single edition of that Left Behind series. But just think about, I mean, and maybe you don't know, but and I don't know the extent of it, but just think about what an impact that series of fictional works has had upon the minds of people. I understand it's translated into several languages. Been sold around the world. Left behind. God's not going to leave a single one of his behind. Jesus died for them. Their debt is paid. He's coming back to get them. And he has the power to take them home to be with him forever. We are safe in the blood of Christ. Now that encourages me to do better every day we live. Okay? We should not all sleep, but we should all be in a moment. Even the scientists will tell you that's the shortest increment of time. A moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Not a blink. Takes a little longer to blink than a twinkle, right? In a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. You know, in the Old Testament, you read about the trumpets and how they were sounded for different things. And if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, 1 Corinthians says, who shall prepare himself to battle? All right? There's a trumpet sound that we're waiting for, isn't there? Old Testament Israel, every 50 years, they had something. Do you remember what that was? Jubilee. You ever read about Jubilee? You understand what was happening in Jubilee? Maybe I need to preach on that at some point. I haven't mentioned that in a long time. Jubilee. Debts were forgiven. They could go back home to their possessions. It was a glorious time of forgiveness of all manner of things. Bless your hearts, it's just pointing toward to that grand jubilee. And that 50th year, the trumpet would sound to usher in that year of jubilee. And bless your hearts, when the last trump sounds, it's going to be the grandest of all jubilees, isn't it? We're going to go home. The last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. I believe that's going to be a literal sound of a trumpet, don't you? I'm waiting for that. All right. Trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Now, Paul is focusing on God's people here. All right? The dead is going to be raised incorruptible. You know, these bodies are dying. You know, that's why the blood has to keep circulating in the body to carry oxygen to the cells, to keep making more cells, because we're dying. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden when man sinned. They thou ye serve, thou shalt surely die. My margin says, in dying thou shalt die. In dying, when sin entered into the world, death came by sin, didn't it? We began to die. The dying process entered into this world because of sin. And the effects of sin, oh my goodness. Oh, just think about all the heartaches, the sorrow, and the struggles, and the difficulties that have come into this world because of sin. Don't you hate it? We need to be reminded of it. You know, I heard a discussion, and it was, maybe it sounds like I'm being critical. I'm just pointing out. The discussion that I heard was just very commonplace. It wasn't being critical or anything. It was just a matter-of-fact discussion about how that so many churches nowadays don't want to talk about sin. No, let's don't talk about sin. Brethren, we need to be reminded of what we've been saved from. We need to be reminded of what faithfulness to God's all about. We need to be reminded about that on a regular basis. Because without that, we're not going to be very thankful. Without that, we're not going to be giving much praise. Without that, we're not going to be bringing much glory and honor to His matchless name. We're going to be raised incorruptible. That death is going to be removed when He changes us and fashions us like unto His glorious body. Death will be removed, won't it? Oh, what a day that'll be. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Paul is speaking from the perspective as if he's going to still be around when Jesus comes again. We're looking at this, not that there's any error here, but he's writing this, or the Spirit is inspiring this, so that the Bible is ever present and ever applicable to our needs. There are those of us who love God who have not died. If the Lord delays His coming, we will. And there'll be others that'll be coming behind us that are serving the Lord. Fact is, when He comes again, there will be those who are alive and remain who will simply be changed without having to pass the scene of this life. All right? So he says, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay? For this corruptible must put on incorruption. Oh, we are so corruptible, aren't we? Oh, but bless your hearts, what we're being saved, what we have been saved to, is a state of incorruption. Nothing will ever spoil what we'll enjoy in heaven's pure world. And this mortal must put on immortality. What would we be if we were able to put on immortality without putting on the incorruption? Who would want to live in this condition always? Oh. So, He's going to deal with the incorruption. We're going to put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You know, I probably said this before, but our perspective. All our lifetime, we've seen victory swallowed up in death. As our loved ones have passed the scene of this life, what we can see with the natural eye looks like defeat. Sin took over this body. But bless your hearts, if we could see it like God sees it, we could see this soul and spirit departing from this old body of flesh. Though this earthly tabernacle would be placed in the grave, awaiting the morning of the resurrection, that in us which is immortal goes home to be with the Lord, doesn't it? And so he says, death. Then should be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. There's coming a time when that will not happen ever again. Jesus has already arisen victorious over death. And that's why we rejoice in him. That's why we rejoice in serving him each day. But there's coming a time when none of God's people will ever have to face that again. Because death will be swallowed up in victory. When he comes back, that'll be an absolute victory. Death is swallowed up. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Well, we're seeing part of that right now, aren't we? We're seeing the victory. We're seeing the sting of death. We're seeing the victory of the grave right now. Bless your hearts, we've been blessed to understand that Jesus has arisen victorious over death, hell, and the grave. So we don't have to worry about that. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? By the way, the sting of death. Well, he goes on to say, the sting of death is sin. What he's talking about there is that poisonous sting that brings death. Wasn't it sin that brought death into the world? Romans 5:12, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned, then all their posterity born into the world in the same condition that they were in after they sinned. Death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The sting of death is sin. That's how death came. That's what brought death. That's what affected death in this world. The sting of sin is death. And the strength of sin is the law. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God told Adam, of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely, what?
Die.
Strength of sin is the law. God's truth said, if you eat of that against my commandment, you will die. And so sin has that strength because of the truth of God's word. But thanks be to God. Aren't you glad that's in there? But thanks be to God. He overpowered that, didn't he? But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the strength of sin is the law. But Jesus came to fulfill that, didn't he? Jesus came to die in our room instead, to pay the sin debt that God's holy law demanded. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. The balance of the time, we rejoice in the victory that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ, because by it he has obtained our eternal redemption. And we rejoice in that, don't we? But I'll tell you something. He didn't say, thanks be unto God which gave us the victory. Look at that. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. Is there a difference? Yes. Victory is ours now. Have you ever needed the victory that's in Christ Jesus on a daily basis? Have you ever needed saving on a daily basis? Have you ever needed the encouraging of the Holy Spirit and the help of God's Word and the encouragement from God's people? Have you ever needed that on a daily basis to save you from discouragement or save you from making bad choices or to save you from ignorance? Yes, we need it every day, don't we? He giveth us the victory. It's ours in the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity, but it's ours also by faith each day. And so that God the Father hath given us His Son to save us from our sins, but He also gives us His Holy Spirit and quickens us and gives us faith so that we can overcome temptations on a day-to-day basis. And oh, if our brethren in other denominations and our friends in this world that love the Lord and that are serving Him with the understanding that they have, if they could just embrace the idea and understand that, yes, there is eternal salvation through Jesus, but every time the Bible speaks of saving, it's not eternal. There are many times that the Bible speaks of saving us that depends upon day-to-day activities, doesn't it? You know, the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, he says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. If we get caught up in the things of this world and go the way of the world, then bless your hearts, we're going to be lost to it. But if we listen to our heart, if the Lord indeed is working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, and we're following after that, and we're reading His Word, and we're desiring the wisdom that comes from His Word, that wisdom, by the way, which will help us to have more joy and peace in our lives. If we're listening to that, it will save us from the ungodliness of this world. It wouldn't, we're not going to be separated from it. We've got to make our way in this world. We're going to be exposed to it. There's many ways it's going to affect us. But if we could choose to be faithful to God, if we can choose to do according to His commandments, if we can choose to ask Him for the wisdom that we need and ask Him for the help to do His will. Don't you know He's honored with that prayer? Don't you know He'd be pleased to answer it? Thanks be to God, which giveth. He did give it to us. He gave it to us through Jesus, His Son. But He also gives it to us as we ask of Him each day. He giveth us the victory. And so, as long as we live, and as long as He delays His coming, we have this available to us, don't we? What a blessing. You know, I wonder how often we think about the Word of God and the commandments that He's given us to live our lives in the New Testament. How often do we thank God for it? Because in keeping it, there's life. In keeping it, there's joy. In keeping it, there's peace. There may be a lot of chaos around us. There may be a lot of ungodliness around us. But if we're like Daniel and purposed in our heart to be faithful to God, He will honor that. I love to think about those characters in the Bible that trusted God. Remember Joseph and all that he had to endure, and he trusted God. And God blessed him, didn't He? Now listen. God did indeed bless him. But that doesn't mean Joseph didn't have problems. He had challenges. He had problems. But God blessed him. Daniel? Trusting God didn't keep Daniel out of the den of lions, did it? You need to remember that. You might be facing a den of lions in your lifetime. You might be facing a challenge. Are you going to be faithful to God? Are you going to give in and go along with the program? You don't think that can happen? A lot of our brethren have had to face that down through the centuries. Maybe we need to read Fox's Book of Martyrs every now and then. Maybe we need to realize how much God's people have had to suffer down through the generations. We've had it so easy. We've had it so good. That's why we're so spoiled in our day. Well, get ready. Things are changing, aren't they? Things are changing. We might learn something about that firsthand. We might not have to read a book. We might get it firsthand. It's possible. If you'd have told me that 10 years ago, I'd have laughed at you. I mean, I've always understood the remote possibilities of things, but these last few years, just open your eyes and ears and listen to what's going on around the world. And listen to what's going on in this country. And listen to what's coming down from the highest places in our government in this country. It's not friendly to Christianity. So get ready. Maybe we'll see more faithfulness as we have to suffer for righteousness' sake. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did he obtain our eternal salvation upon the cross, but every blessing that we receive each day comes through him, doesn't it? That's why he's worthy that we thank him for every blessing that we have. Bless your hearts, it comes through him. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All of our blessings come through him and for Jesus' sake. So that's why we love him. That's why we're looking for him to come again, because of all of what he's already done for us. Giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, on the basis of what he's already said, we take a tremendously doctrinal passage and the glory of what God has done for us. And in the way this passage is separated out here, you know, originally it wasn't separated in chapters and verses, was it? But the way we have it in our word today, we have this concluding verse in 1 Corinthians 15. And it's absolutely, because it's the word of God, obviously, but it's absolutely important that we understand is a need for that verse to follow this glorious doctrinal statement. Because what praise is it if we sit on the stool of do-nothing and never let our light shine? What praise is it to God if we never obey his commands and show him that we love him? What good is it? If we didn't, then we would be like the salt that has lost its savor. We would be like a candle under a bushel. In other words, a light covered up so that it can't be seen. Oh, how often is our light covered from view when we're out in public? How often do we see the effect of salt having lost its savor? Do you remember what he says about that, don't you? About that salt? He says, you're the salt of the earth. Ye are. You are. Okay? Let's take this personally. I like to approach this in this way. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now, I realize Jesus was talking to his apostles, but it was things that they were to take and teach to us. God put it in his word for us to learn it. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, salt influences, doesn't it? Salt, we call it seasoning food. You sprinkle salt on your food, it seasons it. It has an influence. Salt is also a preservative, isn't it? Oh, what if everybody in this nation was walking according to the commandments of God? Don't you know there'd be a tremendous influence of godliness in this country? Just think about it. If it was 95% of those that were walking according to the ways of righteousness being the salt of the earth, what about that other 5%? Do you think they'd be so vocal about their ungodliness like it is today? Those people that are so vocal, wanting their rights and wanting to follow an ungodly lifestyle and that which God's Word says is an abomination in His sight. Where's God's people? Where's the salt? Where's the influence? You don't have any control over anybody else. But if He's blessed you to know it, you've got some control over what you do. You've got some control over your choices. You've got some control over your activities. You've got some control over your attitudes. The salt has lost its savor, though, he says. Wherewith shall it be salted? He says, it is thenceforth good for nothing. Now let's see. He said, you the salt. So if you've lost your savor, then ye are good for nothing. Oh my goodness. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? Are we good for nothing with respect to righteousness and godly living? Bringing glory to God? Are we good for nothing? Oh, bless your hearts. He's given us His Word. He's given us eyes to see the things of the kingdom of God. He's given us an understanding of His Word. And all of us need more understanding of His Word. So if we study His Word and pray that His Spirit would open our understanding, oh, what a blessing that would be. Not only to us, but to those around us. And it would bring more glory to God. And it would save us from this untoward generation, wouldn't it? All right. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. What is it that can move you away from Christian principles? What is it that could cause you to choose to go the way of the world instead of the things of God? If we keep in mind what God's done for us, if we keep in mind the love that we have from our Lord Jesus Christ and all that He suffered in our room and stead, if we're practicing being thankful for our blessings, I tell you, that multiplies thanksgiving in our hearts when we practice it. Remember what Jesus said in John 13? If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. There's an impact upon your soul when you do what God says we should. There's a joy there that's not going to be there otherwise. Or at least there's a greater joy that wouldn't be there without being obedient to the Word of God. And oh, just think of the blessings that God has for His people when we obey His Word. Not the least of which is more fellowship and communion with His Holy Spirit as we go through our day. And that has a saving influence upon us. It has a good influence upon others. It has a preserving influence in this world. God's Word's not going to pass away. But whether we're faithful to it is up to us, isn't it? Be steadfast, unmovable. Now, granted, a lot of God's people are unmovable. We got that one down, don't we? But is it for the right reasons? Is it for our jealousy for godliness? Is it for that reason? Yeah, we're unmovable many times. Bless your hearts, we don't need to be moved away from our adherence to the truth of how we should honor God with our lives. You see, this tremendous doctrinal statement of what God's done for us should motivate us every day we live to serve Him faithfully and to honor Him in all that we do. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Ask yourself this question: has my life over the last week abounded in the work of the Lord? Or have we abounded in the works of this life? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. We have our responsibilities. No doubt it fills up our calendar, it fills up our day, but if we can go about it with a Christian demeanor, if we can go about it with a thankful heart, if we can go about it showing forth the love of God in all that we do, then bless your hearts, we'll be abounding in the work of the Lord while we go about our daily responsibilities. God has blessed us that it's that way. We can serve Him whatever we're doing. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. You know, one of the devil's favorite devices is to tell you what's the use. You're not having an impact. You're not going to change anybody. You're not going to accomplish much. You messed up too much in the past. You see how the devil's discouragement, how he oftentimes will... Have you ever experienced that? Is this foreign? Haven't you experienced this? That temptation to say, well, what's the use? What if Jesus had said, what's the use? These people are never going to listen. These people are never going to do. I'm just going to go back to heaven. No, that amplifies the grace, the forgiveness, and the love of God. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor. I'm going to tell you something. Every time you choose to be faithful to God, you will be blessed. Every time you deny this flesh and choose to honor God, you will be blessed. And the more we grow in our understanding of His will, and the more we apply it in our lives, the better off we're going to be. No matter what station we're in, whether we're a child in school, whether we're an adult trying to find a job, whether we're trying to do the best we can for our family, whether we're a young couple that's trying to start out and doing whatever would be pleasing to the Lord, wherever you find yourself, you will be blessed in taking heed to this word of God and applying it to your life so that you can honor the Lord, so that you let your light shine, so that you can be more salt and have a greater impact while you live your life, while we're waiting for this glorious event of Christ coming back and changing us and raising us and fashioning us like unto His glorious body and taking us home to be with Him. I tell you, when He comes, it's going to be quick, isn't it? We're not looking for a 1,000-year reign. We're not looking for Him to sit on a throne in Jerusalem and reign for 1,000 years and give everybody else a second chance to obey the gospel. Bless your hearts, all that was needed to obtain our eternal redemption was when Jesus shed His precious blood. Because when He came to this earth, He knew for whom He was coming to save. He knew who He was saving. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Right? 2 Timothy 2:19. God knows who His are. Jesus knew who was given to Him to save. He knew who He saved. Now that's not a popular doctrine in the world today, even in the realms of Christianity. It's not popular, but it is the truth of God's Word. God is not sitting in heaven wringing His hands wondering how all this is going to turn out. He purposed to save His people. Jesus came and saved them. And His Holy Spirit comes into our heart at whatever time it pleases God to sovereignly cause us to be born of His Spirit. And blesses us to be able to lay hold upon these truths. Oh, may God help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God bless you, is our prayer.